behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler. Joining me today is Jonathan Blockmacher to discuss the property law aspects of decanting. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Bob.
Jonathan, you've been one of the thought leaders and pioneers in the area of decanting and have had a tremendous influence on the evolution of the law of decanting. Jonathan, what exactly is decanting and what does it accomplish?
Well, Bob, decanting has no specific definition, but it's used to describe a trustee taking assets out of one trust and placing them into another trust. It's similar to the concept of having a bottle of wine, uncorking it, and then pouring the wine from that vessel over to another vessel. And, of course, everybody knows that's decanting. So the way to think about it is I'm taking the assets in one trust, as I would the wine in a bottle, and pouring it into another trust. Decanting actually came about in 1940 in a very famous case called Matter of Phipps, decided by the Florida Supreme Court, which held that trustees who had a power to invade a trust and give the beneficiary the corpus of the trust could instead put it in a trust for the beneficiary. Back in the 1970s when I began to practice, I had not heard of the Phipps case, but I knew as a young lawyer I was making mistakes. I couldn't foresee how the law would develop. So what I did was explicitly provide that the trustee, in addition to being able to give assets to a beneficiary by invading the principal of the trustee could also place it into a new trust. Back in 1990, I drafted the first decanting law, which was adopted by New York State. And now there are 16 states that have decanting. Since the New York law came about, there have been a tremendous number of ways in which it's been used. And it's often used to, for example, protect the tax treatment of a trust. There's one case called Matter of Old, O-U-L-D, in New York, in which the trustees were permitted by the court to take the trust estate of one trust, which had a policy of insurance where, unfortunately, the structure of the trust would have caused the proceeds to be includable in the estate of the insured to go into another trust where those incidents of ownership, which would have caused estate tax inclusion, to happen. Another case is where you want to give the beneficiary a power of appointment, whether it's presently exercisable or not, or even a general power of appointment, which you might want to do, for example, to shift the trust from being subject to generation-skipping transfer tax when the beneficiary dies over to the beneficiary's estate. It's also been used to reduce the administrative costs of a trust, for example, by consolidating trusts or limiting the amount of commissions that a trustee has or something similar to that. It's also been used to alter trustee provisions, such as the manner or identity of the appointing fiduciaries. A very common example is where you want to extend the termination of a trust. Unfortunately, many trusts are drafted so that there are payouts to the beneficiaries at various ages, like 25, 35, and 45. One of the worst things I think an attorney can do. I think a lawyer has now acknowledged that you want a trust to potentially last as long as possible. And I have used, and many, many others have used, decanting in order to extend the term of the trust by taking its assets and paying it over to another trust. It's also been used to convert a trust, which is a non-grantor trust for income tax purposes, into a grantor trust or the reverse. Another common way is to change a trust's governing law. It's also been used to divide a trust into separate trusts where state law does not give the trustee or the instrument doesn't give the trustee the express power to divide a trust. It's also been used to reduce the liability of trusts or assets held by a trust. It's also been used, and this is widely used, in order to take a trust that would prevent a beneficiary from getting governmental benefits such as Medicaid or SSI, converting it into a supplemental needs trust so the beneficiary can qualify for governmental benefits. In addition, it's been used to make trust interests spendthrift or the reverse. So if you have a trust where the creditors of the beneficiaries could attach the beneficiary's interest, it's sometimes made to add, for example, a spendthrift provision so the trustees cannot attach it. So those are some of the common uses, Bob, of decanting.
So, Jonathan, I think we understand now what you're trying to accomplish, but some of that, it seems, could be accomplished in a reformation. And I guess help us understand the difference between an action by a trust protector, a reformation pursuant to state law, and decanting.
Well, Bob, if state law expressly permits a reformation, it typically provides that it can be done only with the permission of the court. Court proceedings, of course, are expensive, and if there are minors involved, the court may insist a guardian ad litem, a guardian for the litigation, be appointed, and the cost can be high. In addition, there may be a long delay between the time that you go to court and the judge rules, and sometimes the judge, for reasons that may not be sound, may deny you the ability to reform the trust, or may insist it be done in a way that the trustees don't want. Decanting is where the trustee acts essentially on its own. It doesn't have to go to the court and ask for permission to do it. So it's an ability to basically reform the trust by paying it to another trust without the necessity and expense and risk of going to court.
Jonathan, I noticed that Ohio recently enacted a decanting statute, which makes Ohio, I think, the 16th state with decanting. What if you're in a state like Wisconsin that doesn't have a decanting statute?
Well, that's a great question, Bob. And there are basically three things that the attorney or the advisors to the trustee can do to try to get the benefits of decanting. One is to try to get the state to pass a law, and that recently happened in Ohio, as you point out, Bob, but it took 2 years. And maybe you don't want to wait that long, and maybe it's just not going to happen within a reasonable period of time. You could go in and ask a court to reform, but as I mentioned earlier, that's going to involve expense and risk. The other thing that you can try to do is to move the trust to another state. For example, if you have a Wisconsin trustee and you're permitted to, for example, name a trustee in one of the decanting states, Ohio, South Dakota, New York, Florida, it may be that the lawyers in that state will tell you that because the trustee is now in that state which has decanting, that the trustees have that decanting power. There's some general law that would support the notion that the trustees' powers over the trust are determined by where the trust is administered, which normally is considered where the trustee has its major office or where the trustee lives if it's a human being. There's a safer way to go forward. Alaska, under its decanting statute, which is AS 1357-157, allows you, if you appoint an Alaska co-trustee, and if the trustees agree that Alaska, at least for the time being, will be the place of the principal administration of the trust, you definitely, under the Alaska statute, get the Alaska decanting powers. That would mean, for example, that your Wisconsin trust, which now has an Alaska co-trustee, will get the Alaska decanting powers, and they can decant to another trust, which could be to another Wisconsin trust, or to an Alaska trust, or a Timbuktu trust. And one of the things you'll want to do or make sure of with a trust to which the assets are transferred pursuant to the decanting statute is that the trust has its own decanting rules. So in the future, you're not going to have to switch states or do anything special. Those decanting powers will be embedded in the trust. And in fact, Bob, one of the things that I think all attorneys should do now, whether they're in Wisconsin, Maine, New York, Florida, Alaska, Wyoming, wherever, is to make sure that they add specific decanting powers to the trust.
Jonathan, this has been incredibly helpful, at least to me, and I'm sure many of our listeners. I would like to invite you back, however, to discuss the federal tax aspects of decanting, which seemingly is even more complicated than the property law side. So on behalf of Lineberg Information Services, we want to thank you for joining us today. This has been Bob Keebler with Jonathan Blockmacher discussing the property law aspects of decanting.